Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin with prayer. Father in heaven, you gave your only Son to redeem our lives and save our souls. Compassion for the lost, mercy for the sinful, grace for the powerless, flowing from your love unto all humanity. May our hearts be humbled and our lives respond to the only way of forgiveness and new life, which is through your Son, Messiah, the Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Always, and I do mean always, remember Jesus has a special place in his heart for sinners. Really let that dwell. Jesus has a special place in his heart for sinners. According to the scripture, Mark chapter 2, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Story after story in the scripture, the gospels record Jesus is eating with prostitutes, the tax collectors, the sinners, drawing them to himself with mercy, compassion, kindness, and love. As Jesus said to Nicodemus, the scripture says, John chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only, his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." As Jesus was dying on the cross, crucified for you and all the sin, all that separates from God, Jesus said, "It is finished." Tetelestai. Paid in full. Meaning that the debt of sin has been paid in full, and the punishment received is in totality. There is nothing more needed, necessary, nor required. Jesus' death on the cross, that substitutionary death, meaning Jesus dying in our place, accomplished perfect forgiveness. Nothing more will ever be required. The righteousness of God, the justice of God has been satisfied. And it was the compassion of God that made it so. Think of that. Really let it sink in. The righteousness and justice of God has been satisfied. And the reason is the compassion of God for you has done it. Therefore, God has every right to state through Peter, as Peter testified, written in the scriptures, Acts chapter 4, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." This is not narrow-minded. It is a witness to the truth of the redemptive death of Jesus Christ. Anyone can be saved. Anyone can be redeemed. From the richest to the poorest, from the smartest to the not so smart, to all, anyone can be redeemed. There is no restriction, no rejection, None of that. Salvation is offered to all. But salvation and forgiveness will be on God's terms. And the term is this: through the Son of God, who obediently suffered and died on the cross. God's terms, through His Son. Christ alone. Solus Christus. Scripture says, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That is Jesus speaking, laying it out plain and clear. He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But anyone can come to Jesus. Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus as the Christ alone is the mediator between God and man. It is written in the scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and a portion of verse 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men. Jesus, sinless and perfect life, perfect obedience to the Father, substitutionary atonement alone are sufficient, all that's necessary for our justification and reconciliation with God the Father. The significance of the death of the Son of God is of such great worth that sin, past, present, and future, sin, all time into eternity, the complete forgiveness, redemption and justification, atonement, and any other big theological word you can look up in the dictionary to explain, the death of Jesus on the cross is of such great value. All sin is forgiven. The point is this: there is nothing you can do to add to the value of what Christ has done. So stop trying. I mean that. Stop trying to add value to what Christ has done. Look to Christ Jesus as your Redeemer and as your Savior, and rest on what He has done. Trust the perfect forgiveness of Christ is for you. You don't have to make yourself worthy of forgiveness. You don't have to clean up your act first. Look to Christ. Turn to Christ. Find all you need in Christ. John the Baptist pointed to Christ. His finger always pointed to Christ. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As John pointed to Jesus, we as the church must follow in a matching manner. We must point to Christ and Christ alone. Diversity, tolerance, interfaith dialogue. They sound good. Sound compassionate. Sound like a worthwhile endeavor. But functionally, they all diminish Christ. They give the impression that all religions are on similar footing. All are striving for the same things in different ways. It gives the impression all are equal of value and equally valid. None of this is true. Christ is unique and the only Redeemer, and his redemptive work on the cross stands alone by itself. Nothing compares. Witness, testify, speak the truth in love with compassion and a sincere desire for another to come to know the redeeming grace of God found only in Christ and Christ alone. Have you noticed in the news lately that it is only the Christian faith that is being pushed aside and marginalized? Christian faith that is being pushed out of the marketplace of ideas and out of the public square. Mandatory instruction in the tenets of Islam is happening all across the nation in schools. But try to do the same with the Christian faith. Sorry. No can do. Separation church and state. Ten commandments removed from public ground. A college donor cannot inscribe a Bible verse or the words God, Lord, or Jesus on the nameplate to signify his $25,000 donation to the school. While, give him hell, and take your whiskey clear are perfectly fine. Several public schools in Portland, Oregon, have banned choirs from performing in an annual Christmas festival after complaints from the Freedom from Religion Foundation. And isn't it interesting, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, an atheistic foundation, only goes after the Christian faith in the public square. All other faiths are welcome, but the Christian faith. You, Christian, are excluded more and more. Hear words from a sermon by Martin Luther from the Gospel of from the Gospels talking about John the Baptist and how he pointed to Christ. And you will learn an insight into what is happening in the world. The devil does not intend to allow this testimony about Christ. He devotes all his energy to opposing it and will not desist until he has struck it down and suppressed it. In other words, the devil will actively work to take your eyes off of Christ, to take anybody's eyes off of Christ, and to turn the affections in other directions. In the past, it has happened through praying to saints, or praying to false gods. Some try to believe there is no God. Some accumulate stuff. Some try to do good works, thinking, do enough good works, and God owes me an entrance to heaven. Luther continued on later in his sermon, "What I am telling you is that it is easier for us humans to believe and trust in anything else than in the name of Christ, who alone is all in all. And more difficult for us to rely on Him, in whom and through whom we possess all things." Francis Schaeffer from the 1970s gives another insight into this too. "The Bible makes plain that there is no other way that even God could provide a way of salvation except by Jesus paying the price for the guilt of our sin. It is not that He chose this way arbitrarily, but it was the only way which fulfilled the holiness of God and at the same time the love of God. If God's had said, your sin does not matter, I will accept you anyway, then his holiness would have been destroyed. On the other hand, if he had not provided this way of salvation, his love would have been denied. Thus, there was no other way. And this point was made plain by the fact that just before his crucifixion, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus asked the Father whether there was not another way. And it was indicated that there was not. A little further on, as I see it, the Bible teaches concerning works and grace is that we are saved when, by God's grace, we accept the finished work of Christ plus nothing. This plus nothing would include all religious and moral good works. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life and adds no further condition. However, the Bible also makes plain that once we have accepted Christ as our Savior, then, because of our love for him, we should live in a way that is to praise him. Yet I think the Bible also clearly indicates that none of us are perfect, and thus there will be failures. Therefore, on the one hand, there should be fruit. Yet on the other hand, the Bible warns us that it will not be perfect. When we then fail, we are called upon to bring our specific sins under the blood of Christ. And since Christ's death has infinite value because he is God, we may then have a quiet heart that our sins are indeed forgiven. That's from letter 14, Francis Schaeffer. In your own life, are you looking to Christ and Christ alone for forgiveness and salvation? Are you looking to Christ alone for your identity as a person, as a child of God? Is it not what you really want to know? Is you truly forgiven? Isn't that what you really want to experience? True forgiveness for all your sins. You want that quiet heart to know. But you may have said, and I've said, and one time or another, many times in your life, how can God forgive me? I know the things I've done, and they are not pretty. Can God really forgive me? Have you expressed that sometime in your life? More than likely you have. Why would God want me? Perhaps you've also asked too. I've asked that numerous times. You know, growing up, moving a lot as an Air Force person, it's not easy being the new kid on the block every couple of years. Do I fit in? Can I fit in? And oh, the rejection I experienced, painful. And so you go through life experiencing that, and you look to God and you say, he's going to reject me too. Do you really love me, God? In some way we all ask that. Do you really love me, Father? Do you want me to be your child? Can you forgive me, even though you know the things I've done? And you look to Christ. And in Christ, you see love. And in Christ, the compassion of God was working for you and me. There's nothing more we need to do. No penance to do. No coin to buy an indulgence. No purgatory to escape from. Nothing more for you or me to do. The finished work of Christ has done it all. Look to Christ, his finished work, plus nothing more. Jesus said, is it written, Holy Scriptures, Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 29, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. There is forgiveness, complete, perfect forgiveness for you. There is rest for your soul. It is found in Christ alone. Look to Christ and Christ alone for what hurts in here in your heart. And you will find what you need in Christ and in Christ alone. Amen.